I'm John Wells, and this is a Hamilton Spectator podcast. Okay, that is not the theme music to the blockbuster Wonder Woman movie that just came out to huge box office returns. It's actually the theme music to the 1970s Wonder Woman TV series that starred Linda Carter, who wore, as the song says, her satin tights and USA red, white, and blue. In fact, in the new movie, Wonder Woman doesn't even wear America's colors. That might be an anti-Trump thing. But anyway, the movie came out mostly to rave reviews, celebrated in part for having the most successful opening of any movie directed by a woman. But the movie has also generated debate, in some quarters anyway, about whether our hero slash goddess Diana Prince is a feminist icon or not. I thought, who better to call on my bat phone to discuss it all than a fellow superhero nut, Amy Kenney, who is a former Spectator reporter who now lives in the Yukon, in Whitehorse, where she has worked for the Whitehorse Daily Star, and is also a freelancer who has written comic reviews for several journals. Amy, it's good to have you with me.
Well, it's good to be here.
Yeah, thanks. I knew once I saw this movie that I would probably want to gab about it, and I knew that you'd be the one I'd want to entice to come on our show here today. So first of all, we talked about this when you were the spec. I mean, you've been anticipating this movie coming out for a while, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody has.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, she made her debut in the Dawn of Justice movie.
Yeah.
And I know when you and I podcast about Dawn of Justice, we both agreed that she, maybe it wasn't all that difficult to steal that show, but she stole that show.
Yeah, she was the best part of that movie for sure.
Yeah. So first of all, So you saw the movie in Whitehorse. I'm curious. I mean, was it a you didn't see it on opening night? Was it a packed house? What was the environment like there?
It was at I think there were about 15 people in the theater. I saw it on Monday night.
Right.
I don't know what it was like opening night, but I imagine Monday was kind of dead because Tuesdays are cheap here. So
right.
I think everybody held out for that.
Was anyone wearing any Wonder Woman, you know, regalia, shirts, bracelets?
No, I have a Wonder Woman bracelet that my brother made.
Nice.
And I had that, but I think I was the only one.
Right. You wore the bracelet to the movie then?
Yeah.
Oh, perfect. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't have any. I've worn my Superman T-shirt and my Captain America T-shirt. Not at the same time, of course, but when I've seen those movies, but I didn't have any Wonder Woman regalia to wear. But
You have to get some.
Yeah, I guess that's the next step. Absolutely. Let's get to the basic stuff first. I mean, what was your before we break it down a little bit more? What was your gut reaction upon seeing the movie? How you felt after you left and that kind of thing.
I loved it, but I mean, can't go into that movie without bias. Like, I love Wonder Woman and have been waiting forever for them to make a movie. I mean, all the male superheroes have their movies, sometimes, like, over and over and over again. How many different times has Batman been made?
Mm, yes.
So it feels like it's been a long time coming. So I was really happy about it. I liked it.
Yeah, it did, you know, having read up a little bit on it, it did, you know, they talk about how it took a long time for this movie to come to theaters. Maybe that's a good thing in some ways in terms of, you know, the quality, I guess, that came out, but it has been a long time coming. Gal Gadot, I've never heard her name spoken, actually. Is that how you pronounce her last name?
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever heard it said out loud either, but I think that's how you say it.
Gal Gadot, who is originally from Israel, and she was the actor who played Wonder Woman. What were your impressions of Gal?
She was pretty awesome. I like some of her personal story too, that she used to be a trainer in the Israeli army. Mm-hmm. That was pretty cool. And I don't know, I've seen interviews with her, and I was sort of pretty liked her before seeing the movie, because she just seems as sort of natural and unactory as mm-hmm. an actor can seem, I guess.
Right.
And then she was kind of like that in the movie. I mean, she is Wonder Woman. She's a superhero, so she's obviously, like, very strong. But she also, her character has this sort of naivete about her in the movie, coming to Earth and not really knowing anything about it. But it didn't feel like over the top, you know?
Mm-hmm.
In a sense, it was a nice balance of strength in her being kind of naive about why the world is the way the world is.
Yeah. No, it's I think that's bang on. That she has this vibe of, you know, the humanity about her. I mean, it's a neat combination, as you say. I mean, it could have gone the wrong way if, you know, if you had her too, you know, deer in the headlights kind of thing, or even too much the other way. But she has that nice mix of that naivete you talk about, but also a real cool. You know, an intensity to her as well, and that's a pretty neat combination to pull off. I think it's probably tough to do that.
And she had the odd line too, where it was like sort of a wink that, you know, she had the odd line where it was you know, she'd throw a jab at somebody, but it would be very understated, and you were like, oh, she knows what's up.
Right. Yeah, she's allowing us in on the whole thing, you know.
Yeah.
And I know, you know, certainly with the superhero movies in the past, there's always, I mean, I'm a huge fan, and some would say, you know, what you wear teach, you know, the superhero t-shirts in the movies, and I went and saw Wonder Woman alone. You know, some might say that's pretty weird, but I'm not on, you know, the fanboy website type thing where people get so into it that it's all consuming. And certainly with all the superheroes in the past, with the movies, you're always getting the critics and people getting upset about who's been chosen for a particular role and that kind of thing. I don't know if there's any of that with Gal when she was first cast. Did you hear any was there any criticism at all, or did people seem okay with her when they first were just, you know, showing her picture and who's going to play her or anything like that?
I think nobody really, I mean, she's been in things before, but I don't think enough people knew her to get to have an opinion of it. There was somebody else, I wish I had looked this up. There had been talk about somebody else playing her a few years ago that I remember people weighing in with opinions on, and then something happened and that woman was no longer attached to it. But yeah, I don't remember hearing anything either way about Gal.
Right. So let's get a bit into the movie then, in terms of what you liked, what we liked and didn't like, that kind of thing. Your overall impressions? Pros and cons of the movie in terms of the story and the casting and that sort of thing. What did you like about it?
Did you see the 3D one, or did you see the normal, like the regular?
I saw the regular.
Oh, okay, me too. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not big in the 3D thing. I just find it. Not necessarily.
Yeah. No, I avoided the 3D screening. I liked the setting. I'm a sucker for anything sort of set during that time period. World War One, even though I don't know. Well, no, that's not true. I was going to say I don't know why they chose to set it during World War One when the Wonder Woman comics, like the first ones, were set during World War Two. But I do know why they did that. But I can talk about that later. But yeah, I mean the whole kind of world that they built and the look of it. It was a slick kind of looking movie, and I liked the feel of it. I liked some of the supporting characters, like Steve's trio of buddies that came along with them to fight, were kind of, you know, they played the role that they were supposed to play, which was the trio of sometimes buffoons that accompany the heroes, but there was a bit more depth to them than there is in most trios of buddies, road trip buddies, I guess. Well,
yeah.
It wasn't really road trip, but, you know,
of sorts, yeah.
Mission buddies. So I liked that part of it. I think one of the, as far as things that I didn't like about it, I was into a lot of the slow motion action and fight scenes, but it felt like every single fight or punch or kick was done that way, and I would have liked them to have switched it up a little bit and have some quicker hand-to-hand combat scenes, as well as those really drawn-out, stylish slow-motion scenes.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I as we talked about earlier, you know, the some people are really down the slow mo. I read one review that said that you know, the slow mo action scene, you know, went out of style after the second or third Matrix movie or something like that. And but I, you know, I grow tired, you know, some of the Bourne movies and even Quantum of Solace. I mean, I'm a big Bond fan, but some of the early action, that one in the early movie, the quick cut stuff where you can't follow it. And I know they're doing it to show just how intense it is. But if you can't follow what's going on, that's not good either. So I like the slow-mo and Wonder Woman as well. And the setting, you know, talk a bit about that. You were saying, you know, what's your theory and why they chose, as you pointed out, the origin story of Wonder Woman was set in World War II in the comics, correct?
Yeah,
and so for the movie, they chose World War I, which certainly, I thought it was powerful when, you know, she's on this this beautiful island that looks like, you know, Santorini or something like that, and in the Mediterranean, and then she arrives in London, you know, gritty and dirty and horribly wounded soldiers coming back from the front, and there's that neat contrast. And I mean, she has her uniform, her fighting uniform on under her dark clothes, kind of thing. So why do you think they chose the First World War rather than the second?
I read an interview with the producer, and he said they chose World War I because that was kind of the first war where they had the kind of weapons where you didn't have to be up close with the person you were killing. You could kill them from, you know, further away without ever looking them in the eyes or seeing who they were, and that they thought that would be something that would really irritate Wonder Woman, that it seemed somehow less honorable to be able to pick somebody off without knowing who they were.
Right.
And that they wanted to focus on that and kind of build that into her character and her outrage about the whole thing.
Right. Interesting.
Yeah, although I don't know that that comes off. I mean, reading the interview, I was like, okay, I do remember a part in the movie where she said this is an unhonorable way to kill people, but I don't think the majority of people would watch the movie and walk away from it thinking that. I think probably more people walk away from it thinking, like, why did they choose to set it during a totally different war?
Mm-hmm.
Particularly when they did, when she was fighting Germans, you know, and mm-hmm. you kind of wonder why, when her whole origin story is that she goes back and she fights Nazis during World War II, then, like, why would she be fighting Germans? And it just seems like an arbitrary decision, and I don't know mm-hmm. that their reasoning for it comes across unless you go looking for an answer to that question.
Right. I mean, it certainly, you know, looking back, it does give her that opportunity to. I mean, when she's in the scene, when she's in the trenches, you know, and we're all familiar, you know, the trench warfare, the First World War, and she's about to jump out of the trench, and you're thinking, or I'm thinking, this is suicide. I mean, how are they gonna keep her alive, you know, with this? But then it allows her to get the shield out and face the straight on fire in no man's land. And I'm thinking, okay, yeah, you know, that works as a backdrop. You know what I mean? They're not in the Second World War. You don't have that trench warfare. There is no charging the line in the second. So that gave them a neat kind of setting that way, I suppose.
Yeah, that was a cool scene.
Yeah, to me that was, that might have been, looking back, that might have been the most exciting scene for me in a sense, because I was literally thinking, okay, do not get out of the trench, cause you'll be, and then you're kind of rappelling the bullets. I'm thinking actually that, you know, believable in a superhero sense, that there she is, she's got the shield, they can't hurt her as long as she holds on tight, and I kind of thought that was kind of neat. And certainly, you know, London, you know, it gives them a chance. They've got those scenes in the alley, and then she's trying on the sort of Victorian style. I'm not sure if it's Victorian. Yeah, I guess Victorian style clothing and so on. That was kind of amusing. Now let's touch upon a theme that that you mentioned when we were chatting earlier, and that I've seen in some of the coverage as well. What was one of your complaints about them, or not complaints, but one of the negatives of the movies in terms of how they were showing Wonder Woman in the film in terms of her appearance and how people are reacting to her appearance?
Oh yes, so this felt like, I mean, I'm not complaining that she was wearing the little outfit that she wears. That's what Wonder Woman wears. In fact, she was wearing more than actual Wonder Woman wears, because she had a skirt on instead of those little, like, bathing suit bottoms or whatever.
Right.
And I get it. Like, that's, superheroes are these, like, perfect physical specimens, and even the men are dressed up in outfits that show off their bodies. But the number of people in the movie who comment on her looks, I just was like, does everybody have to comment on how gorgeous she is when they see her? Like, every time they see her?
Right.
I have eyes. I can see that. Everybody can see that she's beautiful. It just felt like there was a review on Vulture of the movie where the reviewer said that he liked her acting, said that she was great in the role, but then didn't give any reason other than her looks or, like, her legs or her hair or whatever. Like, he said that she was great in the role, but then every single reason he gave for it was some physical characteristic of hers, and it just felt like those comments in the movie on her looks were catering to that kind of viewer who only sees her body,
right?
Not her acting or her her, like, mission or her morals or any of who she is as a superhero.
Right, right. Yeah, no, it's and yeah, I found that interesting as well. I mean, I think I subscribe to the school of sort of show don't tell in terms of the script. You know, as you say, I mean, she's obviously striking a visual. You know, there's an impression she's leaving as she's walking down the streets of London and all that sort of thing. You know, do we need? You know, I mean, we see this in TV and movies all the time. You know, this constant narration and people pointing things out to the viewers, I guess, in case they're not getting it, which is too bad. And And certainly with, you know, with the male superheroes, like you say, I thought of the example of, and actually looking back on it, it bugged me again because it's just not necessary. You know, in the Man of Steel, when a female army officer, you know, says that Superman is hot. Oh, he's hot, and people giggled and stuff. And at the time, not that it offended me, but because he's a handsome guy, he's supposed to be Superman, for crying out loud. But it just. Yeah, I mean, it's self-evident, but of course, to your point, and in that movie, and perhaps in other movies like Thor or what have you, they might touch upon that briefly. But yeah, it did seem like in Wonder Woman that they want to keep reminding you that she's looking good.
And this will
sort of lead into something else I want to ask you. But I mean, the fact of the matter is, she is a striking looking woman. I mean, that's, as you know, it's. Although, as I pointed out at the top of our chat, I mean that in a real broad sense. It's because of the vibe she has, and it, you know, it's not just her hair and the eyes and all that. It's what she exudes in combination with the physicality. I think that when I say she's stunning, it's that whole aura to me. But do you think a man can, and a woman can see Wonder Woman, see this movie, and feel it in the same way? You know, if they both like it, let's say that they both can like it in the same way, or what do you think about that?
I think it depends on the person. I mean, I know the guys behind me at the theater were not watching it the same way I was watching it, but I shut my mouth and watched it, and they spent the entire time just naming different things that they would give to be able to sleep with her. But I don't think that's like the textbook example of this is how a woman watches it versus this is how a man watches it. I think this is how I, as a comic book fan, watch it, and this is how, like, two bros in Whitehorse watch it. I don't know. I think it depends what you bring to it, like whether you're an actual comic book fan or whether you just want to see it from a blockbuster or whether you're like, this chick's hot, I'm going to go see 2 hours of her running around in a tiny skirt. Like, everybody comes to it differently, and I don't know if you can say a man would watch it differently than a woman. I think it depends on the individual, but I do, with that said, I think that a lot of women go to it being like, I think it means something to a lot of them, because, I mean, I'm 35 and this is that's not true. There was Tank Girl in the 90s, but that flopped. There was Supergirl when I was a kid, and I like loved that movie and watched it daily because it was the only thing for years that I had where I was like, here's a superhero that's like me, not, she didn't look like me, but she's a woman, you know? And I was like, it was the only thing that there was. So I think a lot of women take that to the viewing with them where they're like, fuck, finally. And maybe men don't understand why that's significant because they've always had tons of male superhero movies to go to.
No, it's a great point. What do you think? You know, I was reading some articles saying, I mean, I'm always struck whenever you sort of start to peel back some of the layers of analysis of movies. I mean, people write PhD theses on this type of thing, and it can go on and on, and others just want to enjoy the flick kind of thing. But you know, there's I saw a couple of articles where there's a bit of a debate, I suppose, out there, about whether or not the movie and Gal Gadot's portrayal and so on is an example of feminism to celebrate, you know, a superhero type of thing, and then the other school of thought is saying, well, no, there's still, as you touched on, that they're sort of focusing on her beauty and that sort of thing, and in that sense, it's regressive in some sense. I don't know. Do you come out on either side of that, or what do you think of that debate?
I don't think it's regressive. I think the simple fact of there being a huge, like a movie of this size with this level of funding and those names attached, like I think making a big deal of this movie is in itself kind of a feminist, a feminist act. Like here's, I don't find it regressive. What am I saying here? I mean, I think the fact that the movie was made and is getting the attention that it is and the people coming out to see it that it has.
And directed by a woman is
a positive. Yeah, is a positive. And I mean, there are little things in it, like the fact that every other person who looks at her is like, damn, she's a babe. that's something that I maybe wish wasn't in there as much as it is, but the movie overall, I don't think is regressive.
I come back to the aura, but you know, by the end of the movie, I mean she's a hero through and through, right? I mean she's done the physical stuff. And near the end, I mean, you know, without giving away too much, I mean, you know, plunging a sword through one of the key bad guys, but then sparing one of the other bad. She fulfills that whole evolution of the hero to me, and yet gives a sense of understanding at the end about love, and there's just so much depth to that I think people would be nitpicking. I mean, you can, as I say, you can deconstruct things till the cows come home. I think you can find anything you want in a movie, and I think I read a piece the New York Times from March, where they were from the trailer, someone was saying that the fact that she didn't have armpit hair was suggesting that she's meeting the modern female aesthetic or something. I think that's, personally, I think that's kind of just going overboard in terms of looking for reasons to tear it down.
The way that she looks in the movie is the way that she looks in the comics, and I don't know. I don't have any problems with it. She's a badass chick. She goes out. She's got a mission. She does it. People try to get in her way or start, like, even the people who are on her team are like, well, I think you should do it this way, and she sticks to her guns and she does her thing. And I don't know. There is nothing about it that strikes me as being regressive. I think the simple fact of its existence is the opposite of that.
Right. Right, right. And she is, you know, without giving away too much of the movie, I'm sure everyone's seen it if they're listening to the podcast, perhaps. But I mean, she is vindicated in the end in terms of her belief of where the root of the evil. You know, for much of the movie, you're thinking that she might have some blinders on and is being too naive. But in the end, it's borne out. You know, her this sense of
spoiler alert.
Yeah, that's right. So, which is also, you know, but yeah, you know, it'll be interesting to see where they take it from here in that sense, in terms of developing the character. I mean, certainly in some of the movies, well, I think Spider-Man or things like that, that sometimes the first one is the best and it's as good as it gets kind of thing. But where do you think the sequel, and no doubt there will be a sequel, I mean, well, she's going to appear in the next Justice League movie, but for her next solo movie, where do you think they should or will take it?
I don't know. Is there a second one? Have you heard anything about whether or not they've...
I was just reading up today where the director said, I mean, it's just talk, but she just said, you know, that there has to be a sequel. You know, they definitely want to do a sequel. And even, you know, some early talk about, you know, whether they would now go to World War II, for the next setting.
Yeah. I don't know.
I guess that
would
make sense.
It'd be tough if they do that to make it seem... that much different. I don't know. I think going into World War II would be, yeah, tough to be like, remember the first Wonder Woman film? This one's basically the same. Not that the two wars were the same, but, you know, I think it would just be maybe they're going to have to do something fancy to differentiate the two. And make it satisfying and feel, because it's already difficult to avoid superhero movies. I don't want to say that they all feel the same, but they are very like samey after a while. If you sit down and you watch a bunch of them in a row, they mm-hmm. follow a particular formula. And so I think maybe setting her up in a war in the first one, and then setting her up in the next war in the next one is perhaps
right.
fighting more of that kind of criticism. But
I do think it'll be interesting when, I mean, obviously the next, the next Justice League movie comes out, I think, in November, and I mean, I think they still have some shooting to do on that. But I wonder even if they're still doing some editing, if they're going to want to put a little bit more of her in there. You know what I mean? They didn't realize how big this would be when they made the Justice League movie that's coming out next. You know?
Yeah. Aquaman, more one. Actually, no, that's not true. Aquaman's awesome. Cut some Batman and put some more Wonder Woman in there.
Yeah. No, it'll be. Because I don't think anyone predicted how what a big hit this would be, but it'll be interesting to see. The director, I read the director said that she said, oh, you know, we need to bring her to the U.S. and which I mean, and obviously in terms of the box office, maybe that'll help in terms of that market, although it's already killing that market.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I wonder if they'll put the Stars and Stripes on her like Linda Carter in the 70s, like our theme music that kicked off the podcast.
Yeah.
That could be a mistake, maybe. I don't know.
I wonder where in the States would they take her? Probably New York, but maybe not. Maybe someplace a little less obvious.
Well,
cool.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I like that about the. I finally saw, you know, on Netflix the Thor. You know, the original Thor movie, and where they have him in. I don't know. It's like a small town in Arizona or something like that. You know, it's kind of neat when they're out in the wilderness like that. I could see them doing that, something like that, with her, and then bringing her to New York as well or something. Who knows?
Yeah,
but I do know that whenever she comes back out, I'll be there, and you'll be there with your bracelets on, correct?
Oh yeah, and you'll have a new T-shirt.
By then, I will definitely have the new T-shirt. I'm going to make a promise right now. So
yeah.
Well, Amy Kenny up in Whitehorse, I appreciate you joining us on the podcast today.
Thanks.
And we'll check in. Well, heck, when the next Justice League movie comes out, maybe we'll resume.
All right.
You take care.
It'll come here. We'll get it on opening night too. I had my fingers crossed that it would show up here this weekend, Wonder Woman, and I was not disappointed. Good work, Hugo.
Well, yeah, I guess that's right. You're never sure what's going to roll through town, right?
Yeah, there's only like, well, there's two theaters, but there's only three or four movies playing at any one time.
Right. Well, they picked the right one to show anyways.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Amy.
You're welcome.